We're not about to build particle accelerators that can probe to distances that small. They would have to be larger than the solar system, and they're not likely to be approved in the present financial climate. However, there has been an exciting new development that means we might discover at least some of the dragons of M-theory more easily and cheaply. As explained in chapters 2 and 3 in the M-theory network of mathematical models, space-time has 10 or 11 dimensions. Up to recently, it was thought that the 6 or 7 extra dimensions would all be curled up very small. It would be like a human hair. If you look at a hair under a magnifying glass, you can see it has thickness. But to the naked eye, it just appears like a line with length, but no other dimension. Space-time may be similar. On human, atomic, or even nuclear physics length scales, it may appear four-dimensional and nearly flat. On the other hand, if we probe to very short distances using extremely high-energy particles, we should see that space-time was 10 or 11-dimensional. Brain worlds. If all the additional dimensions were very small, it would be very difficult to observe them. However, there has recently been the suggestion that one or more of the extra dimensions might be comparatively large or even infinite. This idea has the great advantage, at least to a positivist like me, that it may be testable by the next generation of particle accelerators or by sensitive short-range measurements of the gravitational force. Such observations could either falsify the theory or experimentally confirm the presence of other dimensions. Large extra dimensions are an exciting new development in our search for the ultimate model or theory. They would imply that we lived in a brain world, a four-dimensional surface or brain in a higher-dimensional space-time. Matter and non-gravitational forces, like the electric force, would be confined to the brain. Thus, everything not involving gravity would behave as it would in four dimensions. In particular, the electric force between the nucleus of an atom and the electrons orbiting around it would fall off with distance at the right rate for atoms to be stable against the electrons falling into the nucleus. This would be in accordance with the anthropic principle that the universe must be suitable for intelligent life. If atoms weren't stable, we wouldn't be here to observe the universe and ask why it appears four-dimensional. On the other hand, gravity in the form of curved space would permeate the whole bulk of the higher dimensional space-time. This would mean that gravity would behave differently from other forces we experience. Because gravity would spread out in the extra dimensions, it would fall off more rapidly with distance than one would expect. If this more rapid fall-off of the gravitational force extended to astronomical distances, we would have noticed its effect on the orbits of the planets. In fact, they would be unstable, as was remarked in Chapter 3. The planets would either fall into the Sun or escape to the dark and cold of interstellar space. However, this would not happen if the extra dimensions ended on another brain not that far away from the brain on which we live. Then, for distances greater than the separation of the brains, gravity would not be able to spread out freely, but would effectively be confined to the brain, like the electric forces, and fall off at the right rate for planetary orbits. On the other hand, for distances less than the separation of the brains, gravity would vary more rapidly. The very small gravitational field between heavy objects has been measured accurately in the lab, but the experiments so far would not have detected the effects of brains separated by less than a few inches. New measurements are now being made at shorter distances. In this brain world, we would live on one brain, but there would be another shadow brain nearby. Because light would be confined to the brains and would not propagate through the space between, we couldn't see the shadow world, but we would feel the gravitational influence of matter on the shadow brain. In our brain, such gravitational forces would appear to be produced by sources that were truly dark, in that the only way we could detect them is through their gravity. In fact, in order to explain the rate at which stars orbit the center of our galaxy, it seems there must be more mass than is accounted for by the matter we observe. Evidence for dark matter. Various cosmological observations strongly suggest that there should be much more matter in our galaxy and other galaxies than we see. The most convincing of these observations is that stars on the outskirts of spiral galaxies like our own Milky Way, orbit far too fast to be held in their orbits only by the gravitational attraction of all the stars we observe. We've known, since the 1970s, that there is a discrepancy between the observed rotational velocities of stars in the outer regions of spiral galaxies and the orbit velocities that one would expect, according to Newton's laws, from the distribution of the visible stars in the galaxy. This indicates that there should be much more matter in the outer parts of the spiral galaxies. The nature of dark matter. Cosmologists now believe that while the central parts of spiral galaxies consist largely of ordinary stars, their outskirts are dominated by dark matter that we can't see directly. One of the fundamental problems for cosmology today is to discover the dominant form of dark matter in the outer regions of galaxies. Before the 1980s, it was usually assumed that this dark matter was ordinary matter comprised of protons, neutrons, and electrons in some not readily detectable form, perhaps gas clouds or MACHOs, massive compact halo objects like white dwarfs or neutron stars or even black holes. However, recent study of the formation of galaxies has led cosmologists to believe that a significant fraction of the dark matter must be in a different form from ordinary matter. Perhaps it arises from the masses of very light elementary particles such as axions and neutrinos. It may even consist of more exotic species of particles such as WIMPs that are predicted by modern theories of elementary particles but have not yet been detected experimentally. This missing mass might arise from some exotic species of particle in our world, such as WIMPs, weakly interacting massive particles, or axions, very light elementary particles. But missing mass could also be evidence of the existence of a shadow world with matter in it. Maybe it contains shallow human beings, wondering about the mass that seems to be missing from their world to account for the orbits of shadow stars around the center of the shadow galaxy. Instead of the extra dimension ending on a second brain, another possibility is that they are infinite but highly curved, like a saddle. Lisa Randall and Raman Sundram showed that this kind of curvature would act like a second brain. The gravitational influence of an object on the brain would be confined to a small neighborhood of the brain and not spread out to infinity in the extra dimensions. Like in the shadow brain model, the gravitational field would have the right long-distance fall-off to explain planetary orbits and lab measurements of the gravitational force, but gravity would vary more rapidly at short distances. There is, however, an important difference between this Randall syndrome model and the shadow brain model. Bodies that move under the influence of gravity will produce gravitational waves, ripples of curvature that travel through space-time at the speed of light. Like the electromagnetic waves of light, gravitational waves should carry energy, a prediction that has been confirmed by observations of the binary pulsar PSR. Binary pulsars. General relativity predicts that heavy bodies moving under the influence of gravity emit gravitational waves. Like light waves, gravitational waves carry energy away from the objects that emit them. However, the rate of energy loss is usually extremely low, hence very difficult to observe. For instance, the emission of gravitational waves is causing the Earth to slowly spiral in toward the Sun, but it will take another 10 to the 27th power years for them to collide. But in 1975, Russell Hulse and Joseph Taylor discovered the binary pulsar PSR 1913+16, a system consisting of two compact neutron stars orbiting each other with a maximum separation of only one solar radius. According to general relativity, the rapid motion means that the orbital period of the system should decrease on a much shorter timescale because of the emission of a strong gravitational wave signal. The change predicted by general relativity is in excellent agreement with careful observations by Hulse and Taylor of the orbital parameters, which indicate that since 1975, the period has shortened by more than 10 seconds. In 1993, they were awarded the Nobel Prize for this confirmation of general relativity. If we indeed live on a brain in a space-time with extra dimensions, gravitational waves generated by the motion of bodies on the brain would travel off into the other dimensions. They would be reflected back if there were a second shadow brain and trapped between the two brains. On the other hand, If there was only a single brain, and the extra dimensions went on forever, like in the Randall syndrome model, gravitational waves could escape altogether and carry away energy from our brain world.